Hello and welcome to a very intimate version of the PAT podcast. And joining with me today, very closely, is my good friend Justin Inneman.
I'm feeling it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How are you feeling it?
Our noses are basically touching.
They pretty much are. We're down a microphone right now, which is, in retrospect, going to make my job incredibly easier later on today, but this is just a little close for comfort, you know?
I'm actually more comfortable.
Oh, really?
Being so close to you.
Hmm.
I feel like maybe this is what we've been missing.
This is our piece right here. This is what we needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This pod may be our 2112, you know, it might save our career. This might be our jumping off point to bigger and better things.
Or it could be us jumping the shark.
It could be. This could be the end.
It could.
So I guess we'll just have to see.
The end is nigh.
Yeah.
Just like the end being nigh, we literally just watched the final out of an Indians game. Very great game by the Indians right there.
Yeah.
What was the final score?
9-3.
Oh, yeah. And who did we lose to?
The Minnesota Minneapolis Twin City Twins.
Is that their full name?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I renamed them.
Is that what it says on their birth certificate?
Yeah, I renamed them just now.
Well, I mean, typical Indians can't get run production to save their lives.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about baseball.
Yeah, let's dive right into baseball.
Dive right into baseball.
I have a couple things, and then I'll get angry about the Indians.
Mm. Well, you promised us your breakdown of the AL Central.
I did.
I want to hear this.
All right. Breakdown of the AL Central. Let's go 1-5. I got the Indians winning the division. A close second, a very close second, will be the Minnesota Twins. Possibly will be a wild card team.
Will there be a game 173 or whatever? Was it 163?
183.
Oh, 183.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
I don't know if there'll be a tiebreaker, but I think they'll be within 5 games of each other. And then I got the Chicago White Sox, Kansas City Royals, and Detroit Tigers. That's how I think the AL Central will play out. Now, I'm scared of the Indians because they're embarrassing.
Yeah, right now they're pretty bad to watch.
They're terrible.
They've mustered 4 runs.
When you have Tyler Naquin hitting third, that's not a team that I want to watch 162 games of. And it's tough. It's been tough. And what do we have to look forward to? Okay, Lindor comes back. That'll be good. And then Jason Kipnis comes back. And anybody who's excited about Jason Kipnis coming back, just like walk off the earth, you know?
Off of the earth.
Yeah.
Well, because it's flat.
It is flat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just a couple of things before we get into the Indians. As a Rockies fan, I was pretty upset that DJ LeMahieu signed with the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people were.
But it looks like he'll be used mostly as a utility guy in New York. So I was just thinking, how does this sit with DJ? I mean, he's playing for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
But you go from being an everyday starter in an organized in a city that loves you to the New York Yankees, where half the fans probably don't even know who you are,
mm-hmm.
and now you're just a utility guy. So
from NL batting champ to utility guy.
Yeah, from National League batting champ, Gold Glove, to Yankees utility man. Just thought it was an interesting series of events that happened with DJ LeMahieu. I'm gonna give you a fantasy player that I think you maybe need and look out for. This may be an obvious player to some of you bigger baseball fans.
Mike Trout?
But, yeah. Felipe Vázquez had an insane spring, and it looks like he's going to be coming in hot the first few weeks of this season. So, if you're in your fantasy leagues, pick up Felipe. I think in terms of relievers, there's not going to be anybody who's going to be much better than him.
Not Brad Hand?
Maybe Brad Hand. I mean, Brad Hand had a pretty good outing yesterday, yeah. But... and then the last thing before we get on to the Indians, with the release of MLB The Show...
Oh, God, that's been my life.
With the release of MLB The Show 19, I am happy to report that San Diego Studios finally updated Charlie Blackman's hair and beard. He finally has a mullet in the game, and his beard is bigger. So I was very happy to see that.
I want to say a lot of the players look really good this year.
Yeah.
Like, especially a lot of the legends, like spot on, like Ty Cobb, on point.
Yeah.
Beautiful job.
Insanely good game. I'm just happy that they updated his beard and his mullet.
Yeah.
So that's just a stupid thing that's important to me. But all right, let's move on to the Indians because
what do you just want to touch on Brewers for 2 seconds before the Indians. That team is on fire right now. Look at Yelich, 4 homers in 4 straight games, and then Hader throws an immaculate inning yesterday.
Yeah, the immaculate inning, truly immaculate.
Yes, the immaculate inning is more rare than a no-hitter.
Yeah.
That's the 90th ever in the history of baseball.
Yeah, and baseball has been around for...
More than 90 years.
More than 40 years,
yes.
But less than 300 years.
It's younger than America... But older than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Baseball is... It's been around longer than Chevy. But it hasn't been around as long as Rome.
Yeah.
So that just gives you...
A frame of reference.
A frame of reference to how cool the immaculate inning is.
Yep, and for those who are uninformed of what an immaculate inning is, it is...
It's a really good inning.
9 pitches, 9 strikes.
9 pitches, 9 strikes, 3 outs.
Correct. 3 strikeouts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. That is obvious. I'm sorry. I don't even know why I added that.
Let's get on to me being angry. So, can I just ask you a question, Mitchell?
Absolutely.
How is it possible at all that the Indians are losing money?
It's not. It's actually not possible because they're doing really well. I mean, their attendance isn't that great, but then again, who wants to go to an Indians game in April when the team is terrible and it's terrible outside? I mean, it's March 30th and we had like 6 inches of snow yesterday. I mean, team made what? The playoffs the last 3 years, made a deep playoff run 3 years ago. I don't know how you're losing money.
If the Tampa Bay Rays are not losing money, I don't see any reason to believe that the Cleveland Indians are losing money every year. I don't understand where that comes from.
Especially when your owner is flying coach in the middle seat.
Well, they can't afford it. They can't afford anything else. They're losing money.
Like, the team's worth at least $1 billion.
They're worth $800 million. Yeah. They're the 29th most valuable team in the MLB.
Yeah, but I mean, if they sold it, it would probably be $1 billion.
Well, it would be $800 million. Yeah. That's what they're worth. Well, that's what they're valued at.
Then they sell. They usually sell it higher.
I mean, they only bought the team for about $300 million.
Yeah, they made money off of it. And
I think they should sell it.
If it wasn't for prospects, this team would have been garbage for the last 20, 30 years.
Well, it's you see the trend. It's like every 10 years.
Every 10 years. The prospects come up, get good.
They're making the playoffs.
Yep.
I mean, 2007 and then 2016, yeah. They made the playoffs.
97.
2007, and then 2016.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, they made it, like, in the early thousands, but...
You know. Yeah. So, what I think the Indians should do, sell the team.
Yeah.
And whoever buys the team, change the name back to the 1901 Cleveland Spiders.
Okay.
Just because I don't like the Indians as they are.
No. They need a revamp.
And they need to reboot the franchise. New owner, new players.
New everything.
New everything.
Wow, so they sell the team off, the team moves, and then they get a new expansion team. That's pretty much what you're saying.
I'm saying that somebody buys the Cleveland Indians and then just changes the name.
But you said new players.
New players. Trade everybody. It's people you can't trade, kill.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh. You can cut that out.
Yeah.
You can cut that
out. I will edit that out.
Okay. Yeah, but let's just talk about in three games. I just want to give you a little quiz. The Indians are 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
How many times in three games do you think the Indians have struck out?
Struck out?
Yes.
20?
39.
Oh my God, seriously?
In the Indians' first three games, in each of the games, they have struck out 13 times.
Oh my God.
So that means in three games, the Indians have scored five runs.
Four. No, yeah, they
five
scored
runs. And have struck out 39 times.
How many hits?
I don't know how many hits, but we're looking at five runs and 39 strikeouts. Can we just talk about three games, 39 strikeouts. That is a game and a half worth of strikeouts. Mm-hmm. If 27 strikeouts is nine innings,
they're literally striking out half the time.
They're striking out more than half of the time.
No, it's 26. It's 27 outs.
27 outs.
Divide that by two, it's like 13.5.
Okay. So they're striking out literally half of their at-bats. 39 team strikeouts in three games. I can't even say it enough. I can't say it enough to believe it. Like, that is insane.
I mean, they usually start cold, but not this cold. This team has no hitting, period.
39 strikeouts in three games.
They can't get one run to help Bauer. I mean, Kluber.
Like, and Kluber pitched well.
Yeah, he pitched
You can't fault a starter for giving up two runs.
No. No. If you can't score two runs in a game, that's... What are you doing out there? And they scored three runs today. Whoop-de-doo. Guess what? They lost by six.
And I know that we're only three games in, but the Indians are averaging 13 strikeouts per game.
How many?
13.
How many total would that be over three games?
39.
Okay. Just want to make sure I get
39 bleep strikeouts.
You know, I could download like a sensor thing and just throw it in there. Right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
39 strikeouts in three games.
Yeah.
Come on. And Terry Francona, let's just acknowledge that he continues to be the worst bullpen manager in the history of sports.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say that?
Romeo Crennel. Romeo Crennel would be a better bullpen manager than Terry Francona. You know who would be a better bullpen manager than Terry Francona?
Romeo Crennel.
Dick Wolf, executive producer of Law & Order Special Victims Unit. He would be a better bullpen manager than Terry Francona.
I mean, he's managed 31 seasons now? 21 seasons? How many seasons are they up to? They just got renewed for another season.
39 strikeouts?
Oh, 39 strikeouts, yes.
Yeah.
How do you feel about those 39
strikeouts? I had a chocolate-covered pretzel earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
That chocolate-covered pretzel...
Struck out less times.
...would be a better bullpen manager than Terry Tito Francona. And also, what a stupid nickname.
Why? Why is Tito a stupid nickname?
Because he sucks at pitching management. It makes me so mad. It makes me so mad how bad they are. They're embarrassing.
Yeah, no, I agree.
The Cleveland Indians, as they are today, are embarrassing.
That is, yeah.
And they'll continue to be embarrassing. And I know I'm picking them to win the division, but that's with an asterisk.
What's the asterisk? That they learn how to hit?
That 45% of me thinks that the Twins are going to sneak out the division title.
45%?
Yeah.
And this is the weakest division in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, by far.
Yeah, it very well
may be. By far the weakest division in baseball.
Yeah. So, I'm not feeling it. when it comes to the Indians. But that's okay, because
your Rockies are doing well.
Yeah, they're 2-2.
It's better than the Indians. All right. I think you need to. We need to calm down here.
Yeah. I'm gonna go meditate.
You got a little heated there.
Let's take a break. I'm gonna go meditate. And we're back.
You can meditate while we're doing basketball news, because still isn't much. LeBron got shut down for the season. The Kristaps stuff that we're not gonna touch with the 10-foot pole. Even though it is really interesting that the Mavericks knew about that and still went through with the trade.
I didn't hear about that. What is that?
Oh, there's rape allegations out against Kristaps Porzingis from like a couple years ago. And the Mavericks knew about it when they traded for him.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. I did not hear about that.
Yeah, that makes me put my opinion of Mark Cuban a little differently. Because you know Cuban has a say in that, and Cuban knows that. Oh my god. Oh, that's the headline. That's our pure reaction to the headline. Justin is literally speechless right now, and I don't even want to say what it says on this podcast. It is pretty bad.
It's a New York Post article on Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, look up the New York Post article if you want to read about that. It's not good.
Wow. I don't know how I haven't heard about this yet. You know, I had jury duty last week, and I just tuned my whole life
out. Yeah, it just came out yesterday, that news.
That's crazy. Wow. Well,
that changes your opinion on a lot of stuff with the Mavericks and Kristaps Porzingis. If it comes out to be true, it's all alleged right now, obviously.
Right.
Nothing is in concrete, but it's not pointing well for Kristaps.
Wow. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about football.
Yeah, let's talk about football after that, because that's not something you want to hear. And unfortunately, there is literally nothing going on in the world of football right now. Like, no one's signing. Nothing's happening.
How about the Browns?
We're in that dead period before the NFL draft, but it's not close enough to the NFL draft to only talk about the NFL draft.
How about the Browns giving a little slap to the face that they're going to be introducing Odell Beckham Jr. during the home opener?
I love the Browns. Browns are like, hey, you want this? Too bad it's our city. Because I'm more excited for, especially after the Indians' first three games.
Yeah.
I'm much more excited to see OBJ get announced.
Would you rather watch 13 strikeouts, or would you rather watch number 13 introduced as a Cleveland Brown?
They should just put a K next to his name, too, just to remind everyone how poorly the Indians are doing and how well the Browns are doing.
The Cleveland strikeouts.
Yep. It's all thanks to Paul Dolan destroying the entire morale of this team.
Wow, they're losing money.
Yeah, well, they're definitely losing money. They have bad attendance.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Maybe if you put a better product on the field, you'd have better attendance.
Yeah.
Isn't that a strange concept? Like, you know, if you make people want to come to the game. Like, look at the Browns right now. The Browns were doing terrible 2 years ago with attendance. I mean, 0-16 and 1-15 will do that to you. But, I mean, they rebounded. Fan interest is at an all-time high. Yes, Cleveland is a Browns town and always will be a Browns town. But still, I mean, this is during the Indians playoff run, people were more interested in watching a Browns team that didn't even make the playoffs than the Indians.
Let's just think about how much, if they made a push to sign Bryce Harper.
Oh, yeah, or even, yeah, even
how much money they would make off of that.
Look what Harper's doing to Philly. I don't agree with Harper here as like as a player. I don't think he'd fit the team. I mean, obviously,
I don't think he fits anywhere. He's just a home run hitter.
Yeah, but I mean, imagine if they made a big splash sign. How excited people would be for the Indians.
I mean, dude, Philadelphia pretty much made up most of the money they're paying Bryce on jersey sales before he was even introduced to the team.
Paul Dolan, if you want to own a sports team, go to any other sport.
You got
to
spend money.
Especially in baseball. Without a salary cap, spend whatever you want.
And there's so much money in baseball. I don't see how it's possible that you're losing money.
Especially with the return of the long ball. You get these new comeback pitchers who are throwing strikeout after strikeout after strikeout because everyone's swinging for the fences. Baseball interest is getting better.
It's a power pitching and a power hitting league. And that's what people want
to
see.
It's a great time to be a baseball fan. If you love the long ball, if you love the fireworks of the game, like, this is a good time to be a baseball fan.
Right.
And, you know, capitalize on that. Who do we have that are, like, major power hitters? Santana?
Hanley Ramirez.
Jose Ramirez.
Who looks terrible.
Yeah. Lindor, kind of.
Well, he's out.
Yeah.
So he's not even...
That's all we got. Who do we lose? We lost Edwin from last year. We lost...
You lose Yandy Diaz. Yeah, Yandy Diaz. Which was stupid. So you trade away... who's the catcher? Francisco Mejia?
Yeah, Mejia. Gomes is gone.
Oh, and you're going to rely on Roberto Perez to be your starting catcher and hit 87 this year? I can't stand him. It makes me so mad.
Sorry, we cycled back to the Indians, but it just kind of happens.
Oh my God, we're just feeling it right now. Just how angry it makes us. Me specifically, I don't know how angry you are.
I'm angry too because I'm an Indians fan. I mean, I'm not a huge baseball fan like you are, but I love the Indians.
And I don't even love the Indians.
Yeah.
But it still makes me so mad how they can be so terrible.
And they're just letting their windows slip.
I don't know if I mentioned it, but in three games, they struck out 39 times. 39 times!
I mean, again, it is early in the season, but that isn't what a division-winning team does. I mean, what was the statistic last year you said? Like,
the Indians are on pace to strike out 2,106 times.
All right, but like, what's that statistic you looked up last? It was from last year. It was like, of any other division, the Indians would have been in third.
Yeah, I was keeping track last year on the Indians' record and comparing them to other division leaders and things like that. And at pretty much every point in the season last year, if you would place the Indians as the record was in any other division, the highest they would be in any division was third place.
If that doesn't say anything about how...
And there was only one division they were third place, and the rest they were fourth or fifth.
It just tells you how bad this division is and what the Indians could have done.
Right.
They, instead of taking advantage of a terribly weak division that is getting stronger every single year, by the way. Like, the Twins are a real threat this year.
And people don't believe in the Twins because they have unproven pitching, but we've seen unproven pitching.
Yeah. And look what our pitching does for us. Guess what? If you don't get run support, your pitching doesn't matter.
Right. And I mean, the Twins have a pretty solid lineup.
Yeah.
A much better and much more round and full lineup than the Indians do.
The Indians have no hitters. Outside of...
The Indians are decent. Ramirez and 1-3. Lindor. 1-4.
Yeah.
Maybe if you got Lindor. And
Santana too.
Lindor, Ramirez, Santana.
Kipnis if he's hot.
And Hanley Ramirez.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even put Kipnis up there as an average hitter. He's below average in my eyes.
If he's hot. He's a streaky hitter.
So you have three or four guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, but what about the other five
in
the lineup?
And you're in the American League. You need to have good hitting in the American League.
Right. I don't have any faith in this team.
No. They could have made a move at DJ LeMahieu when he was in free agency.
Well, they can't afford anything because they're losing money.
Losing money despite winning the division and having massive fan support, especially during the down years of the Browns, when no one wanted to even talk about the Browns because they won one game in 2 years.
And hasn't the Chief Wahoo insignia cap been like one of the top three or top five selling hats?
Yeah, it's just because people want to buy it.
The past few years. Okay, but the Indians make money off of that. That's merch sales.
Yeah.
New Era doesn't pull in all that
money. Guess what? The Indians still own the copyright on that.
Right.
Yeah, they can...
And they're still selling merch from it?
Yeah, not anymore. All the new merch, it's gone, I think.
I believe they are still selling merch.
Because even in MLB The Show, so this is my knowledge of it, in MLB The Show, they have like a 90s flashback jersey, and it has the C instead of Chief Wahoo on the hat.
Right. But my belief or as I heard it before, I don't know if it changed, was in terms of on the uniforms, there was going to be no Chief Wahoo, but the Indians would continue to sell merchandise with the Chief Wahoo on it.
No, that may be, I'm not sure.
That may be a thing. We can confirm that later. Yeah. I'll be down at Progressive Field Wednesday, and I'll check out the team store and get back to you on that.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, that's enough Indians.
Step back. Mad about the Indians podcast.
And this next part of the podcast is me mad about Browns fans.
Okay.
I'm in a Facebook group called Cleveland Browns. It's a Cleveland Browns Facebook group. You people, man. I get the support for the Browns. I get, like, reacting, like, you know, we actually have a competent team. We absolutely do have a competent team. But we cannot rule out the other teams in this division. The Ravens still won the division last year, and the Steelers are still a very good team. Everywhere I see, everyone is just ripping on the Steelers, ripping on the Steelers. I get it. It's part of being a Browns fan. But the Steelers are pretty much the exact same team they had last year.
They still have a number one receiver.
They still have Juju Smith-Schuster. They still have a lot of... They lost what? Jesse James, Bell, and Brown. Bell didn't play last year.
Yeah, so they Brown didn't really was the lose him.
Bell, Brown was a massive locker room cancer. Bell was a massive locker room cancer. And Jesse James.
Yeah.
He was actually a pretty good player, but still, I mean... You're losing a tight end, you still have your number one.
And the Ravens got better. The Steelers really didn't get any worse. They still have probably the best offensive line in football.
Yeah. I mean, and
I would not be surprised if the Browns finished third in the North.
It is definitely possible. I mean, we still have a young team. Everyone's got to realize it's a young team. We're starting a second-year guy guard with Reuter.
And they're unproven.
Yeah, they're unproven. I mean, Odell isn't unproven. Lindor...
Landry
isn't unproven, but I mean,
like, but they're unproven together.
Callaway needs to make strides in order to be a solid number three receiver on this team.
He needs
team.
Better gloves.
I got in an argument with someone. They're like, oh, well, Landry led the league in drops. Yes, Landry led the league in drops. Dude's a slot receiver. He gets hit on slant routes all the time and runs into a linebacker. He's expected to have drops.
Yeah.
Sure, Callaway had less drops. But how many touchdowns did Callaway drop last year? 3, 4, 5?
Yeah.
On wide open deep routes. You cannot have bad hands as a deep threat wide receiver.
Right.
I cannot clarify this enough. You need to have good hands to be a deep threat wide receiver. You can't be dropping 5 or 6 touchdowns a season.
And I understand it was his rookie year.
Yeah.
But you just need to be better if you're playing in the National Football League.
You need to catch those open passes. There's a reason Randy Moss is in the Hall of Fame, because he caught those open passes.
Yeah.
Callaway has the natural talent to break away from people and get fast. Wide open. Oh, he is so fast. He's one of the fast players on this team. He's probably going to be returning punts for a reason.
Right.
But he is so fast.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you have the natural talent. He just needs to catch the ball.
Yeah.
Like, Njoku. Njoku made so many strides last year.
Mm-hmm.
From the beginning of the season, he was dropping a lot of passes. When Baker first came in, he was dropping a lot of passes. And then Njoku's drops started falling off towards the end of the season because he got more accustomed to Baker.
Right.
Like, if Callaway can make the strides Njoku made, then the Browns really do have one of the best offenses in the league, period.
And Callaway doesn't come across to me as much of a hard worker as guys like Njoku and Landry.
But I think Landry and OBJ and Baker are going to push him this year. Because, I mean...
We can only hope so.
Him and Hollywood. I have no problem with Higgins. Higgins is going to be the best third down receiver in the world because he will be wide open.
Right.
Wide open. Callaway will also be wide open because he's not going to be drawing the attention of their number two corner anymore.
Right. And let's even think about... You can go to a five receiver set.
Yeah.
Where you have OBJ, Landry, Callaway...
Njoku and Higgins.
Or take out Njoku, don't have the tight end, put in Duke. Or take out Higgins and put in Duke Johnson.
And it looks like the Browns are actually looking to keep Duke.
And I don't know why they wouldn't.
I love keeping Duke.
Maybe I said before that they should get rid of him, but I really don't see a point of getting rid of him at all.
I mean, I don't think Duke currently wants to be here because his Instagram is still void of all mentions Browns, period. Like, he removed every single post mentioning the Browns in the Browns uniform and anything like that.
Right.
I mean, that's obvious signs he's not happy, but I mean, if he can get behind this team and be a solid number three receiver, I mean, not I don't number
know,
three back.
I don't know what he would be unhappy about. Yeah. The Kareem Hunt signing? Well, Kareem Hunt's not coming back till week 9.
Yeah. So prove yourself before then.
Yeah, prove yourself that you should be getting more touches when Kareem Hunt come back.
And then when we get rid of you, you know, you'll actually be trade bait.
Right. And unless you can get something really good,
unless the Browns can get something in return, yeah.
Yeah, maybe a corner or a linebacker.
Mm-hmm. It's unfair to say don't trade him until week 9 because we need him.
Right.
I mean, it's just not fair to the guy.
Right. I mean, if you can get something valuable for him, get something valuable for him.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I like the Browns. I love the Browns. I love everything they've done. Their defense is going to be great. Their offense is going to be amazing if everyone gels. And I honestly think they will because...
But that is also a big if.
Oh, it is a big if. But I really think that Baker is going to be able to hold everyone together. And
we can hope so.
Yeah, I think his leadership mentality will really help this team.
Right.
Plus, OBJ is going to come in there as a veteran voice. He's going to be kind of like the guy everyone looks up to. He's OBJ.
Right.
He's one of the biggest names in the league. I mean, it's going to be great. He seems to be embracing Cleveland. And, I mean, if this team can gel, they're going to be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot overlook the competition in this division.
Right. It's still a pretty strong division.
It's still a very strong division.
Minus Cincinnati.
The Steelers, I mean, look at the Steelers towards the last half of last year. They fell off the cliff towards the end of last year because Brown was being a massive locker room cancer. Bell never came back. And, you know, there's just constant struggles and strifes in that locker room. They're going to come back with a clear head wanting revenge.
Yeah, it was all a drama thing. And now
the drama's gone.
As Colin Cowherd said, not to steal, but the Steelers are now one thing they've never been, and that's an underdog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how pissed would you be if you're Big Ben and you've been favorites for your whole career, and now because of the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, the team that was the laughing stock of the league.
You're considered an underdog. Behind the Cleveland Browns, yeah. I would be fired up to come and prove myself.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm actually scared of this
team. AFC North,
year.
Mark my words, this is my prediction for the week. I'm just going to put my prediction in right now. By far, the AFC North will be the most competitive, best division of football to watch this year.
And Baker is going to get hit.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Steelers and the Ravens are coming after him.
Well, we'll see what the Ravens can do. You know, they lost a lot of big pieces on defense. Their offense got a little better, but they lost some major pieces on defense. I mean, they lost all their linebackers.
Yeah.
And they lost Eric Weddle. I mean, that's not a recipe for success. I mean, you lost Suggs, too. Right.
And they signed some guys, but, yeah. I mean, we'll just have to see what the Ravens do. But there's not a team in this division that's going to make it
I think the Ravens' defense for the will Browns. Be significantly worse than it was last year.
I don't know if it'll be significantly worse. I mean, historically... That's an amazing franchise.
Yeah, historically they're a great franchise, but they did lose a lot of big pieces and they didn't really replace too many.
And I mean, just to compare, the Steelers have often lost great wide receivers
and replaced them.
There's nobody better than drafting and developing receivers. And I don't think there's really many franchises better than drafting and developing defensive players.
And everyone's saying Brown, like they lost Brown. Sure, Brown's that's 104 catches. Like 1,200 yards and 15 touchdowns. That's a big loss. But Juju, he played two less games, had 111 catches, 1,400 yards, 7 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Juju was a number one receiver playing as a number two. Yeah.
You're not losing much with Juju there.
No, they're just getting the production they lost and James Conner in Juju.
James Conner now has another year under his belt.
Right.
Yeah.
And with that offensive line, James Conner is going to have no problem.
Oh, yeah. No problem. There's a reason he slipped right in from last year and still did amazing.
Yeah. That's not because James Conner is amazing. That's because
he's
the Steelers.
Runner, but yeah.
That's because the Steelers' offensive line is still the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still scared of that team.
Yeah.
As a Browns
fan. I'm very scared of the Steelers. I do not mark that as an automatic win.
Absolutely.
I think
not.
We'll go 1-1 with the Steelers.
Right.
I think we'll.
This team will
win the home game.
I think so.
Yeah. There's a chance we may beat the Ravens twice if Lamar Jackson turns out to be a dud and he gets figured out.
Right.
And then, I mean, the Bengals. I'm sorry, Bengals. Yeah, you don't belong Bengals, in this division. Well. You are the Cleveland Indians of this division.
I'll probably strike out less.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's enough ranting for today. This is a very We broke into new ground. This whole intimate thing really gets us fired up.
Yeah, I'm still mad about the Indians. I'm just going to go sleep on it.
Yeah, you got your prediction for this week.
I think the Indians are going to lose the home opener.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Plus, it's looking outside. Look outside. There's baseball being played in less than 24 hours. And there's still 5-6 inches of snow.
The reason that's significant is because they're playing the White Sox. Yeah. And I still think they're going to lose.
Yeah. I think they're going to lose, too.
So.
That's the PAT stamp of approval right there.
My prediction, here's my real prediction, is by the next time we have a pod. So this is a week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm predicting by the next time we record, the Indians will have 65 strikeouts.
That's not adding many.
You know what? I'm going to go 70.
Still not adding many.
That's 31 for 5 games.
So they just have to slow down their pace a little bit and still make
that. They play Monday. They have off Wednesday.
So they play Monday, Tuesday, Thursday.
They don't play Tuesday.
Okay, so they play Monday.
Let me see how many
games
they're having. So,
in the meantime, I'll plug myself here. You know, if you want to check me out on Instagram, it's at Hitchmapped. I don't post there. But, you know, follow me anyways. I accidentally followed the Indians finally on there and got flooded with about 10,000 fake Instagram accounts. That was fun. You can follow me on Twitter, which is much better. I actually use that at Hitchmapped, HitchMapt. Obviously, follow us on Twitter if you're not already at PAT Weekly. That's at PAT Weekly. You know, you can check out Justin's band Covariance. They're pretty solid. You can check me out on the Jeremiah show coming up here. I'm going to be on a lot because Jack's on vacation. So, yeah. That's all the plugging I can do while Justin's trying to figure this out. I'm trying to fill dead air right now. All right,
here's my real prediction. It's by the next time we record, the Indians will have, for the season, 85 strikeouts.
How many games?
At least. That is 5 more games.
5 more games.
I'm going to think they're going to strike out 41 times in those 5 games. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. And that's slowing down their pace.
So I'm going to say 85 strikeouts by the next time we record. That's my prediction. So,
yeah, that's a good prediction.
Oh man, I hate them.
Well, what you got any final words?
Indians apparently signed Cameron Maben to a minor league deal.
Cool.
So, yeah.
How about a hitter? Maben a good hitter? He's all right, right?
He's okay.
He's okay.
I mean,
when's Matt Archoice Joyce coming in?
Matt Joyce. I don't know when he's coming in, but I'll be happy when Cargo is here. Maybe they'll send Tyler Naquin back to Akron.
Back to Akron. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
I'm sorry?
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go straight to Akron.
Yeah, he's not going to Columbus. He maybe even deserves to go back to the Lake County Captains. Single A affiliate of the Cleveland Indians.
One of the single A affiliates.
That's where you send.
That's low A.
That's where you send Tyler Naquin. To low A minor league baseball. And cut his salary. He needs to be making $30,000 a year.
Like we do, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wish we did.
Yeah, I know, right? Wouldn't that be nice? Okay.
Alright. That's it.
Bye. Yeah, go Indians.
Yeah.
Go Tribe.
Let's go Tribe.
That's all we can muster.
Yay.
Okay, bye.